Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Through the Spirit before Philip ever said a word to him. He was coming to Jerusalem to worship. There was a love for God in his heart. Though he did not know of Christ, he did not know of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, of his death and resurrection, but yet he had a love for God, and he was reading out of Isaiah. And in particular, he was reading what chapter in Isaiah? 53. The most insightful chapter in, I think, the entire Old Testament about Jesus and his death. Isaiah 53. It's a tremendous passage to share with your Jewish friends because it just speaks so clearly about the death of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit was preparing this Ethiopian eunuch, had him in the scriptures reading Isaiah. Also, look at Peter and Cornelius in chapter 10. You remember the situation of Peter and Cornelius? All right, we'll pick up on that reading beginning verse 1 of Acts 10. Now, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. The Holy Spirit had been working in this man's heart already. Look at all these things going on in his heart. He was devout. He feared God. He gave many alms. He prayed to God continually. Now, the alarming thing is this Ethiopian could have been a deacon in most Baptist churches, couldn't he? And he wasn't even saved. But he did all these things. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea. And when the angel who was speaking to him had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. All right, the Holy Spirit's working. Long before Peter ever comes and speaks to this man, the Holy Spirit is working, preparing him, getting him ready for the gospel message. So the Holy Spirit precedes the witness. All right? Let's also look. The Holy Spirit leads the witness. Not only precedes, goes ahead of us, but he also leads us to share the gospel. All right, look back in Acts 8. Let's see what the Holy Spirit was doing with Philip to lead him to this Ethiopian. Verse 25. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. That is a desert road. So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official, as we read. And then look at verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from him." Isaiah 53. The Holy Spirit was putting this together. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" And as they went along the road, and Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. I mean, if that wasn't just the fruit, low-hanging fruit, who's he talking about here? Is he talking about himself or somebody else? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you about Jesus. And as they came along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So here we have a clear leading of the Holy Spirit. Now what about in Peter's situation? Okay, over in Acts 10. How did the Holy Spirit lead Peter and get him ready for this encounter? Now, I believe, and some of you may think this is heretical, but I believe that the Holy Spirit leads us to the people that he would want us to give the gospel message to. I don't think he intends for us to give it to every person we see. I think we need to be sensitive to the Spirit because he knows who he has been working on. He knows the ones whose hearts are being prepared. And we need to be sensitive to that. And then when he presses and burdens us, that's one way he leads us. He lays a person on our heart and burdens us with their spiritual condition, with their salvation, and we just know he wants us to share a word with them of the gospel truth. And then you, sensitive to his timing, when he opens that door, then you step in and share that word. Cornelius and Peter, here in chapter 10, verse 9. On the next day, as they were on their way approaching the city, here they are coming to Peter. But Peter's not prepared to go to them. Cornelius is a Gentile. The church, early church, thought it was only for Jewish people. Right? Jesus was a Jew. The disciples were Jews. And so they thought, hey, it's just a Jewish thing. They conveniently ignored all the passages in the Old Testament that talk about the nations coming and worshiping and the Gentiles. They wanted it to be exclusively Jewish, and because they, again, felt anyone who was not Jewish was unclean, right? I mean, the Jewish folks, they had some prejudices, no question about it. And they felt if you wasn't Jewish, you were unclean. I don't want anything to do with you. So God was going to have to prepare Peter before he was going to be willing to go and speak to Cornelius. So this is the way God prepares him. On the next day, about they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Okay? All right. Probably around noon. But he became hungry and was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky opened up and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowering by four corners to the ground. And there were in it all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. And the voice came to him and said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything unholy or unclean." Goes back to the dietary laws of the old covenant. When certain things were not to be eaten, they were considered to be unclean. Now, the purpose of that was to remind the Israelites they were unclean spiritually, and they needed to be continually clean before the Lord through their daily sacrifices. But remember, Jesus declared all things clean when he came because he did away with the ceremonial laws. He fulfilled them. Well, Peter doesn't quite understand that. And so he said, no, I'm not going to eat it. Again, a voice came to him, and second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times. He's hard-headed. This happened three times. And immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Three, remember, to the Hebrew, repetition shows significance, importance, stressing. Now, while Peter was gazing, greatly perplexed in mind at what the vision which he had seen might be, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. Divine timing, perfect. If they'd come earlier, Peter wouldn't have been ready. And calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgiving, for I have sent them myself." And Peter went down to the man and said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you." So he invited them in and gave them lodging. Now, Peter would have never done this had not the Holy Spirit prepared him through that vision that he had. And on the next day, he got up and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So the Holy Spirit not only precedes the witness, preparing the person that we're going to be talking to, but he also prepares us. Now, that's as far as we're going to be able to go tonight. Lord willing, next week we will pick up where we left off, and we will see that the Holy Spirit not only leads and proceeds, but he enables the witness. All right, Paul, would you come and lead our prayer?